Welcome to the Faith Life Fellowship Podcast with Dr. Scott Forrest. We hope that you enjoy today's message and that it blesses your life.
Praise the Lord. This will be a short message. Blessed are the preachers who preach short messages, for they shall be invited back. All right. So I want to share the Christmas story with you this morning, but I want to share it in a little bit different way than you might have heard before. To begin with, I'm going to read the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2, the story of Jesus' birth. Then we're going to talk about Jesus was born to die. It's wonderful to celebrate his coming, his birth, but ultimately we have to realize he was sent to the world to die for us, that we might have life, and as I said before, have it more abundantly. Okay, so we'll talk about Jesus' birth. We'll talk about why he came to die, and then we'll progress from there to the story of the road to Emmaus. And then we'll talk about communion, and I believe when we're done, you'll see how they're all connected, and we'll finish by taking communion together. Amen? So the first part of the message is Jesus is born, Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Amen. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward man." I'm going to stop right there. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. It is God's will for the earth to be at peace and for goodwill to come mankind's direction. He loved the world so much, he gave his best to save it. Amen. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, I got to read it again, so it's so good. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. He has goodwill aimed at you if you'll just reach up and catch it. Amen? He's got good things planned for you, not evil. Jeremiah 29:11 says, he's got good things, not bad things, planned for you. He has in his heart the intention of giving you a hope, a future, and expected end. Jeremiah 29:11. Amen? Hallelujah. So he came to give you good things, and Jesus was the main part of that package. Amen. Verse 15, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Amen? We need to ponder in our hearts all the things that God did for us through the coming Christ. Amen? You need to think about it. You need to meditate on it. Think about this. If you were the only person on the earth, the only sinner on the earth, Jesus still would have come and given his life for you. And the shepherds returning, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. But no matter how wonderful his birth, we cannot escape the reality that Jesus Christ our Lord was born to die. That was his main mission. He came to give his life for many. John 3, 16 and 17, obscure scriptures most of you haven't heard of, but I'll read them to you. John 3, 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Did you know that you were a whosoever? Did you know you were a whosoever? There is doctrine out there that teaches you that you're not a whosoever, that God has some that are and some that aren't. But the Bible says you are a whosoever. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is his will. It is his yearning desire for all men to be saved. Verse 17 makes that clear. This is the part most people miss. They'll read John 3:16, but they won't read John 3:17 because it says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. If you hear somebody preaching hell and damnation and condemnation, it's not the gospel. It's not the good news. I'm not saying we shouldn't tell people about hell, but this is the way I look at it. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Amen? We don't want anybody going in that place. Nobody. Nobody. No matter what they've done. I don't know why I'm sharing this, but this is a little tangent. But y'all remember the mass murderer, Jeffrey Dahmer? If anybody deserved the flames of hell, it would be him, right? And he got saved in prison. He got saved in prison. Jesus said, I paid the price. No matter how horrible the world thinks you are or what you did, I paid the price. And then, sadly, later on, he was beaten to death by fellow prisoners in the prison. And I'm telling you, we're going to see him in heaven. He's going to be the one with the smile that's ear to ear. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He was the greatest gift of all. Jesus himself said in Matthew, said it also in Mark, that he came to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. For Emmys included. Emmy, if you're out there, that's a word from the Lord. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So in this season of giving and remembering the birth of Jesus, let's remember the greatest gift of all. Jesus came to die so that we might have life. That's it in a nutshell. Amen. Now I want to shift. I want to talk about the road to Emmaus, which is fast forward in Jesus' life, 33 years after he was born. He was crucified, killed, buried, and rose again. So the background of the scripture we're going to read is this. Two of the believers in Jesus Christ, one is named, one is not named, were on their way from Jerusalem to a little village called Emmaus. And it happened to be the Sunday that Jesus rose from the dead. Only they didn't know that. And so we pick it up there, Luke chapter 24, and we'll read from verse 13 to verse 32. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. That's about 7 miles, a 2 to 3 hour walk, depending on your pace. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? We'd say it like this. What's up? What's going on? Why has everybody got long faces? So he's just striking up a chord. He's like, talk to me. Verse 18 says, and the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? In other words, where have you been? What planet are you from? Don't you know what happened in this city? And he said unto them, what things? I love this. Jesus is having a little bit of fun here, I think. What things? Tell me. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher, the women that went to the grave first. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. By the way, he is alive. Jesus is alive. He says in one place, I'm alive forevermore. Not only was I resurrected, but I'm never going to die again. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the scriptures, all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. All they had back then was the Greek translation of the Old Covenant. So Jesus basically took them through the Old Covenant in the Greek language and showed them everywhere it was prophesied that he would do everything that he did. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Now I'm going to read those two verses again because we're going to talk about them here in just a second. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. Which would have been a motion something like this. And they saw him and they knew him. Some of you know where I'm going with this. Verse 32 says, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? You ever been sitting in a message, listen to the preacher, and all of a sudden something comes out and it just burns in your soul? Y'all know what that's like? That's what these guys experienced. So let me tell you what I want you to get out of this road to Emmaus. It's a 7-mile journey to Emmaus from Jerusalem. 7 is God's number of perfection. I believe this speaks of the fact that Jesus had a journey, and it was a perfect journey, and he completed it just like the Father had asked him to. Amen. It was perfect and complete. He paid the price for our complete salvation, spirit, soul, and body. He left nothing undone. Jesus showed them in the scripture exactly who he was and why he had to come and die to purchase this salvation for us. I did a little research. Emmaus was known as a place where healing springs flowed. So I believe it's a type of the healing provision of Jesus. He communed with these two believers in Emmaus, and he broke bread before them. I believe it was then that they saw the wounds in his hands and finally realized it was him. Can you just see him open up his hand? And they realized who he was. Jesse Duplantis, in his visit to heaven in the 1980s, said that was the thing that took him off guard. When he saw Jesus, he saw the holes in his hands. He said they were large enough where you could see through them. The reason he retains his scars and the holes in his body is to remind us forever the price that he paid for us. No one else in heaven will have a lick or a scar on them, but Jesus will. And the thing that I find so amazing is he seems to bear it so willingly and so happily, so people know, hey, I paid the price. Paid the price. If you've ever seen The Passion, the very end where it shows him being raised from the dead, he stands up from the tomb, and it shows a picture of his right hand with a hole through it that you can see through. So it kind of seems like that might be the case. Of course, I can't tell you from Scripture that that's the case, but it makes sense to me. All right, so they saw the holes in his hands, the wounds in his hands, and they were reminded of what he had done for them. Sometimes we have to recognize what Jesus has done for us. We have to see it through the eye of faith before we can receive the salvation that rightly belongs to us. Especially when it comes to receiving healing in your body. Communion is a time when we remember what Jesus did for us. His body was broken for our healing. His blood was shed for the remission of our sins. One more scripture reading, and we'll wrap it up by taking communion. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through 30. This is the Apostle Paul, the leading apostle of the time, and he was sharing with them what Jesus shared with him about the meaning of communion. 1 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. In other words, take communion seriously. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. You know, sometimes you need to examine yourself. Is there anything between me and you, Lord, that needs to be dealt with? I release this to you now. I let you have it. I appreciate what you did for me. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. This could be a whole hour-long teaching, so I'm just going to run this by you just so you know what he's talking about here. It says, if you don't discern the body of the Lord, you know, potentially bad things will come your way. Okay, if you don't see what he did with his body and did with his blood, it could harm you physically. Okay, it says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Not because God desires it, but because you don't discern that his body was broken for your healing and his blood was shed for your remission of sins. You don't discern that. You don't see that. And so for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And that term there is referring to death. Okay. So I like the way Joseph Prince preaches about communion. He calls it the meal that heals. You know, when you take communion, remember, not only did his blood get shed for the remission of your sins, but his body was broken for the healing of your body. Okay. So I want you to remember that as we take communion this morning. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. We hope you are blessed by Dr. Forrest's message. If you are in the Wilmington area and are looking for a place to worship, come join us on Sunday at 10 a.m. for coffee and fellowship and 10:30 for worship and service. If you would like to learn more about us and hear more of Dr. Forrest's teachings, visit our website at gofaithlife.com. Also, visit and like our Facebook page at Faith Life Wilmington.